Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz, Rob Owen, glad that you're with us here on a Monday, as we always like to come to you on Monday mornings to give you your weekly slice of pop culture. We go in any number of directions on that front. Sometimes it's political in nature, sometimes it's sports in nature, and that's right up my alley, and that's where we're going to start actually today, on the heels of a Steelers victory that was winding, to say the least, how they got there against the Ravens on Sunday. But the baseball season is over, Rob, and
it is.
Strangely enough, for as much as we've talked about the nebulous future of pirate broadcasts,
right,
the ratings are up. Is that what you found out for the course of the season?
Yeah, so I did discover that. It looks like that the ratings for the Pirates, primarily on AT&T Sportsnet, were up 72% from 2022 to 2023. I assume this is because there was that stretch at the beginning of the season where they were doing better than expected. Would that be your read on why?
Oh, for sure. They were one of the best teams in baseball for the first 30 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it took about 40 games for people to realize that that was bogus. So you got 30 good games of baseball, 40 to 45 games of baseball total where people were still hanging on. And then you got right. The midsummer and they stunk and people went into their normal habits of, if I've got nothing going on and it's on in the background while I'm grilling or having a beer in the summertime, so be it. But nobody was watching all that intently.
Right.
And then when they did start to play much better again late in the year, I think they got some eyeballs on them. You know, football doesn't start till after Labor Day anymore. So, you know, they might have gotten a little bump again at the end of September when they were playing some good, close, late games where they were coming back, and viewers who were bothering to tune in at all were watching for a while because they had their eyes in the game for, there were longer games. They were coming back late. So that probably bumped the ratings on the back end too.
Yeah. So they did well. And I'm looking at some of the other teams. So let's see, the Astros were down 10%, Giants down 15%, Dodgers down 17, A's down 23, Yankees down 25, Mets down 27, Cardinals down 27, Royals down 30, White Sox down 41%. So
the White Sox is some sort of record, isn't it?
I don't know.
Like a year to year ratings drop, a total viewership drop, something like that. The ratings for the White Sox is some sort of bad record in Major League Baseball history, from what I understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least even if it wasn't a winning season, at least it was a winning rating season for the Pirates, if we want to look on the bright side.
I mean, you're going to find that year to year, team to team, based on the outcome for the club, you know, especially if you're a big market team like the Red Sox, Yankees, or Mets, who had a huge payroll and huge anticipation, and then your team stinks, people are just going to stop watching, especially in markets where you have other things to watch, other teams to watch.
Of course.
And other things to do. The Pirates, meanwhile, it's a very captive audience, and they played a little bit better than the absolutely nothing that was projected after they lost 100 games. Now, you know, next year, let's see. Even Ben Cherington, I quoted him this week, the general manager of the Pirates, said, it's one thing to go from a 60-win team to a 70-win team, since Major League Baseball teams usually aren't built to lose 100 games in back-to-back years. You know, taking that first step up to 70-something isn't magical, but it's awfully hard to get the next step to 80-something wins, which is playoff contention these days. You don't have to win 90 to be in the playoffs anymore because of the wild cards and the way that they're meted out. So we'll see what it means for ratings for next year, and we'll see where they are. Any new news on that front, Rob? Like, where are the Pirates games going to be to rate?
Don't know yet. Nothing has been announced. You know, there was a rumor a couple weeks ago that they were going to do a deal with Sportsnet Pittsburgh, owned by the Penguins Fenway Sports Group, but nothing has been announced. So I assume that that has not been fully decided yet.
I know that there are many people who are within the walls of AT&T Sportsnet that are really rooting for the Major League Baseball deal to come through. And not have the Pirates reunite with AT&T, what is now Pittsburgh Sportsnet. And the reason for that is Pittsburgh Sportsnet, now that they've got the mechanism in place to get the Penguins games on the air, like, they'll fine tune how they want the broadcast to look. They'll fine tune exactly what they want to do in game as the regular season rolls along, graphics, features, things of that sort. But they've got the people in place now. So if the Pirates go to what was AT&T Sportsnet, now just Pittsburgh Sportsnet, PSN, if people go to PSN to watch the Pirates games, Fenway and the operating basis there are not going to expand to put more bodies on deck for the Pirates, really. Mm-hmm. And if they do, it's going to be at a part-time rate. Whereas if they do the Major League Baseball deal, they'll have likely full-time salaries, benefits, full-time work. There will be more for them to do. They won't be just used in a part-time capacity, whereas you might just see people logging overtime or, you know, the job sort of parsed out here and there a little bit more with what is the Penguins crew if the Pirates come on board.
I certainly understand that from the perspective of folks working there or wanting to work covering the Pirates games. But from a viewer perspective, it would just be much simpler if they were all in the same place like they had been.
Yeah, and I don't think the Pirates care about either, to be honest with you. I don't think they care about the people who are out of work. I don't think they care about the viewers so much and where they go to get the games. They're just going to go to wherever the deal is best for them.
Of course. Of course.
So, you know, there had been some talk that the deal going back to what was AT&T Sportsnet was going to be better for them because there's more security after the first year. I don't know if they've gotten guarantees to the contrary that from Major League Baseball. I don't know how they could, but perhaps that's what's holding things up. But they've got time to wait now, at least for a little while. And there's nothing magical about how you put these broadcasts on. I mean, look at Pittsburgh Sportsnet, for crying out loud. They announced their roster of people like 10 days before they got the games up and running for the preseason.
Right.
Max, it might have been like a week, to be honest with you, for some of those people. They were still adding people after the game started.
Right.
It's not that hard to do. So the Pirates, my expectation is we'll have this question out there for quite some time before you know where the games are going to be. All right, let's get to some non-sports related things, Rob. We might get back there at some point because there's a couple other tidbits here and there. What are you hearing about the SAG-AFTRA strike now that the writer's strike has been taken care of? Anything new on that front or no?
Well, they are still talking, the producers, the AMPTP and SAG-AFTRA. They had talks last week. They are resuming talks again this week. I think there was an expectation that a deal would be done fairly quickly after the writer's strike. So far, that has not happened. But the writers are now back to work, and it's, you know, gonna, from the time the writers go back to work before they can get a show up and filming again, it's going to be at least a month to get scripts in hand. So there's some time there.
That's exactly what I was told by, how could I phrase this delicately? An industry source told me something very similar to what you said, which is, you know, there was this scuttlebutt the moment that the writer's strike ended within the actors. Can I call it the Actors Guild, or is that an outdated term?
No, that's fine.
Okay, Actors Guild that, okay, hey, when are we going to get back to work? Let's get this thing settled. Let's go. And then it was quickly realized that, well, geez, the writers are back to work, but it's not microwave. They have to write things now. It's going to take
Correct.
Some time. So with that being the case, if we're still negotiating over certain points, let's not hurry and cave just to say that the strike is all over and then we'll sit around for 3 more weeks or 4 more weeks until there's actually stuff to do. So in other words, until the scripts start coming in, the push, the deadline, the encouragement to get a deal done won't be until the writers actually have scripts in hand. So you might see this drag out for another month or so with the actors before we see the headline, Actors Strike Solved.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a month. I think it's more likely to be weeks, but we'll see. I mean, there's no deal yet. I think part of the thinking why it might happen quicker was that there are some commonalities in terms of the issues that the writers made deals on and that the actors still need to make deals on, but it is not an equivalency. They are not exactly one-to-one. So that is why there are still negotiations ongoing.
Get to the comedy side of things, Rob, and Roy Wood Jr., who I know and like very much. I've had him in my studio a number of times when I was at 105.9 The X or when I've been on DVE. He's done the DVE Comedy Fest. He's pretty tight with the guys over at DVE. He was on Steve Burns' show. So there's a couple Pittsburgh connections with him, but he's no longer with The Daily Show. He walked away, right?
He did. I like him quite a bit too. I think I first encountered him on Steve's show Sullivan and Son that was on TBS for a few years. I liked him very much on there, and I followed him since then. And he's been great as the fill-in Daily Show host. And before that, when Trevor Noah was the host, Roy Wood Jr. was an excellent correspondent for that show. Very funny guy, smart, insightful commentary. And he had done a great job as a guest host. And then the strike happened. They're getting ready to come back from the strike on October 16th, but they announced they were going to continue with rotating guest hosts at least through the end of the year before hiring someone. There had been rumblings that Hasan Minhaj was the lead runner, in the lead running for the host of The Daily Show. Then the whole thing with him making up stories for his comedy act came up. So I think that's pretty much taken him out of the running for that job now. But I think Roy Wood Jr. simply got fed up with them not really taking a close enough look at him or just simply giving him the job. So yeah, he's out of there. He said that if they still want him to be the host, he'd be happy to be the host. He would entertain that potentially, but he wasn't going to continue to sit around and wait for somebody else to get the job.
Was Sarah Silverman hosting for a while?
I don't know if she may have been a fill-in. I have not watched a lot of the fill-ins, so I'm not 100% sure. It certainly seems like she would be someone that they would obviously give a chance to guest host, but I'm not positive.
For as much as I used to like The Daily Show and watch it, I can't tell you the last time I watched a full episode. It's much like the other late night talk shows for me when they spun from our goal is to make something funny every night
Right.
to our goal is to just do political commentary every night. I started to lose interest. You know, I can get that anywhere. You know, like the first year of Trevor Noah, I thought was pretty good. And then from there, it just felt like every other late night talk show.
I have to admit, I just don't watch any of them because it's past my bedtime. So it's just not something, you know, I loved Jon Stewart. I thought he was great. I loved Stephen Colbert when he had the
Colbert
Colbert
Report.
Report.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I used to tape them sometimes and then I just got out of the habit.
That goes for Saturday Night Live too.
Oh, I'm still watching Saturday Night Live. I'm excited. The first new episode is the 21st, I think, of October.
And now it's Pete Davidson's coming back.
He's the guest host, and he was supposed to be the guest host in May when they went on strike.
I didn't catch who the musical act was.
Spice Ice, who
You
I'm
got
not
me.
familiar with, but that's the first musical guest.
I know they've had Travis Kelce on already, but wouldn't it be a ratings pop if they brought him back with Taylor Swift?
Oh, huge. Yeah. No, I'm sure they would love to
Did you
make
see the
that
panic
happen.
on Twitter when he left the game injured, Rob? All the Swifties were suddenly concerned about a tight end who sprained his foot.
But were they watching since she didn't go to Minnesota as you predicted she would not go to Minnesota?
Well, and as you said, what will be the last date next week, right? They'll break up
Well,
after the
actually,
17th.
I would have guessed that this week would have been the last one because her movie comes out Friday.
The movie comes out Friday. Okay.
Yeah,
All right. Well, hey,
13th.
there's still Thursday night football between now
Oh,
and then,
that's
Rob.
true. That would be a good place to show up. But I don't know. Are they playing? Are the Chiefs
The
playing
Chiefs are
Thursday?
not playing Thursday. I don't think they
Okay,
are.
well, then she's probably done.
I guess that means Travis is done. Sorry, Travis. It was a good run. Good luck playing your little football games. What's the deal? Since we referenced the previous iteration of The Daily Show, that's where Steve Carell got his start. What's the story with the office mural in Scranton?
Yeah, so anybody predisposed to checking out another part of the state, the office mural, there's now a mural of the office up in Scranton. It's called The Office, The Story of Us. It's at 503 Lackawanna Avenue. The County Visitors Bureau, Lackawanna County Visitors Bureau, was the premier sponsor of it. It's got images of many characters from the show. So if you are a fan of The Office, I would assume a visit to Scranton would not be complete now without stopping by to check out the mural as well as any locations that they shot for the opening credits of the show.
Is anybody really predisposed to go to Scranton?
Probably not, but you know, if they were, it would be because they were an Office fan.
One other thing I want to talk about here, Tanner on The Bachelor in Paradise. He's the local guy. How's he doing?
Yeah, so he comes on, his first episode is this week on
Oh,
Thursday
okay. So
night.
it's just starting this week. Gotcha. All right.
Yes, but he was on The Bachelorette this summer, and when his time on there ended, we talked to him and had a story, and he was very non-committal about whether he was going to be on the on Bachelor in Paradise, but he didn't say he wouldn't be, so I took that to mean he would be. There were also a lot of spoiler sites saying that he would be on the show. He was not in the initial cast of Bachelor in Paradise for the first 2 weeks, but at the end of last week's episode in the trailer, they revealed that indeed he is coming on the show. So now we will see if he finds true love in paradise.
I feel like our weekly chats here on Pittsburgh Pop would not be complete without some sort of Mr. Rogers reference. We always seem to have one. What is it this week?
So a very sweet video has gone up on the Don Quixote social media feeds that features David Newell, who played Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And he is seen chatting with, I think it's Frankie Cordero, who is the performer of Turtle Lou, one of the characters on Don Quixote. Turtle Lou is a speedy delivery man, much like David Newell's Mr. McFeely. And so it's just a very sweet conversation. They sort of sing a little song together, and it's just a reminder that David Newell remains the best ambassador for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that's out there today. So if you are a fan of Mr. Rogers, I would encourage you to seek out and find that video. It's very sweet.
And lastly, you found something of note on the local news scene. What's that?
Yeah, so a viewer sent me this post that Felicia Woody, who's a forecaster for KDKA TV, put up. And in it, she talks about how she took a mental health day on Saturday, that she had posted to Instagram feeling very down, hurt, and degraded. And I think it's an interesting it's an interesting time to be in TV news, and particularly to be posting personal things, because I think it if you're kind of nebulous, which this post was, it was unclear why is she feeling down, hurt, and degraded. Does it have something to do with her job? The person who emailed it to me said, "This sounds like someone who's getting ready to quit TV news." I messaged her back to sort of ask what's up, and I haven't gotten a response at this point. But I think it's an interesting time in social media for people who are on TV. Certainly, they folks are encouraged to be open and honest, but I do have to wonder about being nebulously honest and what how that lands with viewers and readers and fans of people who work in TV news.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to be like not on social media. That would be my suggestion. Now, I know you can't, and the stations want you to be on social media and interactive, but for as much as they want you to be real with the audience, they don't want you to be real with the audience. They want you to be TVU with the audience. Would she say I'm feeling downgraded and beaten up mentally
Down,
or
hurt, and degraded.
down, hurt, and degraded? Now, does that mean a boss actually told her to do something she didn't want to do? I
I
don't
don't know.
know.
That's the thing that
And
I'm
so what
left
if they
with is
did? Like,
what
you're
does
not
this
supposed to,
mean?
that happens in TV news. Sometimes in TV news, you're told to do something you don't want to do. To me, degraded. And if it's degraded, you're just, and has nothing to do with your job, then you're opening up your personal life to everybody to comment on and wonder about.
Well, and I think there's also a generational divide. And I think younger people are more likely to post something along these lines, whereas older people are more likely to keep it to themselves. And I'm not going to judge which is the better or the correct way, but I think if you are going to post something like this, you've got to go a little bit further and maybe explain what you're talking about so it doesn't leave it open to interpretation
Right.
and potentially
But if
misinterpretation,
you open it up and you do that, then you're opening up the details for people to comment on, and therein lies the dilemma.
So I don't
Yeah.
know. It'll be interesting to see if this has something to do with work or not to do with work. Is she going to be at KDKA for a while? Is she planning to leave KDKA? I don't know, but the post certainly raises some questions.
What's in TV Talk and TV Q&A?
So this week, TV Q&A, we have a question about actually a different KDK personality. Why is Kim Gable anchoring from the newsroom instead of at the regular anchor desk? And then I just want to share with you a question I got that I'm not using because I don't understand it.
Okay.
Why do reporters wear white shirts when they appear on camera with neckties? They remind me of the pompous boss who always wears a white shirt and tie. I have to admit, this one blew my mind. It is called white collar jobs. That is why they were wearing white shirts. I would never look at someone wearing a white shirt and think that they are the pompous boss who wears a white shirt.
That's
and tie.
Because no one's allowed to be a boss anymore, Rob. That's why no one's allowed to be in charge. The white collar connotes somebody's in charge, and nobody ever wants to acknowledge that anybody's allowed to be in charge.
But people have worn white shirts on TV since time immemorial. I don't understand how this is a question.
That's right. So
anyway.
If somebody wears a blue shirt and is still in charge, does that make them less somehow in charge? I don't know. I'm with you.
I have no idea. It just blew my mind, that question. So I didn't use that one. And then as far as TV talk, Frasier is back. The new Frasier show premieres this week on Paramount Plus. I don't know if you're planning to check it out, but if you do, we can talk about it on here next week. I thought that for fans of the original Frasier, it is quite a comfortable fit. However, it is certainly not the original in the way that Frasier was very distinct and different from Cheers. This Frasier is very much the same as the old Frasier, even though there's none of the cast except Kelsey Grammer back. So it lacks a fair bit in originality.
All right, that is TV Talk, TV Q&A with Rob Owen. This is Pittsburgh Pop. I'm Tim Benz. Check us out, Breakfast with Benz. It is a bye week, but we're still writing pretty much every day, maybe a little bit light on Friday. You know what I'm going to see on Friday, Rob?
What?
Actually, on Thursday night, Ted Lasso. When mm-hmm. they were going into the big grand ball and one of the performers stiffed on the team, I think it was like Diana Ross. They booked Diana Ross or something
okay.
to show up or something like that. And they just brought this guy with the long scraggly hair who played every instrument at once.
Right.
They brought him out of the town square and he performed for the whole soccer team. Remember that
yeah.
episode?
Yeah.
That's a real guy. His name is Cam Cole and he's fantastic.
Okay.
He's really good. And he's on an American tour. So I'm going to go see him in Columbus.
Oh, that's great. Have fun.
He just played in Pittsburgh, but I had the Robert Morris hockey game to call and their return game, so I couldn't go. But I'm going to go out to Columbus on Thursday night to see him. I'm really looking forward to it. And I want to make sure there's nobody else on stage with him. I want him to do the whole thing by himself, just like he did in Ted Lasso. We had the little beatbox and everything else. So
that's
what I'm hoping for. All right, so that is Breakfast with Benz this week, and we're back with you next week for Pittsburgh Pop.